Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
And welcome back, my absolute favorite podcast listeners and viewers. And I get to say that because you're fantastic. And I'm so excited. I just got back from Ireland. I'm sure that a lot of you that are listening to this show are from Ireland because we had such a great time there and it was such a collective experience. And of course, I was there with the 262 book launch. And lucky me, I get off the plane. And what do I get to see? I get to see two more 262 incredible speakers. So look, I always tell you, listeners and viewers, what you are today. And I think you're going to stand taller. You're going to stand taller after you listen to this incredible show about speaking in all its realms, right? Some of you would like, oh, I would never want to speak. And some of you are going to be surprised that you probably speak already. You just do it at your job. And, you know, it's part of what you do. And you call it teaching or you call it coaching. But he put a little stage underneath you and put a little Zoom on you and you're actually a speaker. So let's dig into that today. We're going to dig into all its facets. I have with me two incredible ladies that are going to be chatting after this podcast because we had to interrupt them. They were doing, they were making so much friendship before we started the show. But this is Liz Hoyt. You may have seen her speak if you were at the Ireland event last year. She closed the show. And this is Liz Hoyt, and she's going to tell you a little bit about herself and her speaking. And then we have Kathy Holt. If you haven't heard about Kathy Holt and you've been hanging out with us, you haven't been hanging out with us. Because this woman wrote the foreword to our book and she's been at the Emmys and the Oscars and all the things. So you would have to not know us at all to not know Kathy. But here's the cool thing is we're going to talk a little bit about not just the fact that they're speakers, but if you want to be a speaker, what does it take to be a speaker? When do you get to call yourself a speaker? What's the process you go through on that? And even if you are a speaker, when you go to different stages and bigger stages, what does that look like? What does that feel like? We're kind of digging in because these ladies have done it all. They've done it all. So Kathy, Liz, welcome to Mission Accepted Podcast yet again.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you.
I'm so excited to be here again.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Liz, let me let you introduce yourself to our audience. And what do you speak on? What do you got going on?
So as Deb said, I'm Liz Hoyt, and basically I'm kind of everything and anything to do with coercive control, and also the voice of the child, having come from a coercive control and relationship that kind of nearly spanned 20 years. It was really important to me that this was the message that I kind of found my purpose in, because I wanted to reach out and support children and young people in terms of the complexities of coercive control and its nuanced nature. So it was about kind of doing everything that I do around that in order to make the biggest impact that I could.
Right on. Well, welcome to the show. And Miss Kathy Holt, what about yourself?
Yes, I'm here in the United States. Liz is in the UK, and I'm near New York and Connecticut. And I speak on anything to do really with women's leadership, women's equality, women's rights. For decades now, I have been focused, and my passion is women as leaders. And I think we just need more women. And so any place I get an opportunity to speak, I promote women as leaders.
Well, I was going to ask you, ladies, what made you decide to be speakers? But I think with what you just both shared, obviously, it's assisting women to step up. Right. And it's assisting women. And what I was just saying earlier, this is like Woman hear me roar. This is a woman hear me roar speaker show. But Kathy, for you, what was it that made you decide to be a speaker? Because like I shared a little bit in the intro, sometimes people are speaking and don't know it. Sometimes people get a book and then they have to brave up and go speak about it. Sometimes they speak because they feel like they're the one pushed to voice. Do you know what I mean? And all the things. And some people are just born speakers. They're like, I want to go all the way and I want the big stage. So for you, what was it that made you decide that, you were going to speak?
I think it happened, and I don't usually like to use this word because it's so overused, but it really was organically. I mean, when I say, oh, I need to say something, everybody goes, oh, Kathy, again, because I've just always been that kind of person that if I had an idea, I was encouraged at home to talk about it. Not in any kind of way of being aggressive, just sharing ideas. And that's what I grew up with. And so very early on, in my like 20s, I was involved in different things, and I was willing to say something. And that's, I think, what goes to what you're saying. I wasn't on a stage. We didn't have Zoom back then. It was just in a group. I had an idea. I would talk about it. I would encourage other. I'd ask other people. I'm always curious, and I'd ask other people, well, "What do you think?" And started speaking. And then people started. They kind of start recognizing you for being willing to speak because so many people kind of should. They go, "No. I don't want to share. I'm afraid to share my ideas." And so I did, and I started getting recognized, and people started asking me to speak in more formal situations.
I think that's great because that, like, I know you said the word organically, but truly knowing you and knowing that experience is that many times that's what happens. And then I love it because I always say kind of the inbound becomes the outbound and vice versa. If you start doing something, people will start recognizing you for it and then they'll start to ask you for it. And it can just be one of those, some people would say an accidental speaker or an accidental coach or an accidental, hey, can you please bake that cake? Eat that, accidental bakery owner, right? Because you already have curated the skill. And Liz, what about for yourself? What was that decision around speaking and
Yeah, so for me, it was I kind of wanted to get the message out there in terms of I wanted to kind of move away from the violent incident model when we kind of associate that with abuse. And I kind of, from my own personal experience, I wanted to kind of change that narrative and sort of shift the paradigm from that understanding that, abuse is just physical. And I think from then it was just, wanting to make sure that as many people knew about that as possible, because it was always something that I struggled with as I was growing up. That was my perception growing up about abuse, if it has to be something physical. And I think actually we capture so much more when we do move away from that violent incident model. We become more empathetic, we become more understanding of people's lived experiences. So I kind of wanted to make sure that that was where my voice went, and the rest of it just kind of came quite sort of naturally, really, in terms of it was like that purpose behind it, that sort of fire, because the more we speak, the more other people can learn, and the more actually we then realize how many other people are going through that same thing. So that was kind of the motivation to keep going.
right. So I'm going to ask you because both of you have been on stage and both you've had that experience where I think you've had that, ooh, I'm on that stage. Ooh, I'm speaking in front of these people. What do you do, Kathy? I'll start with you. What do you do, even for myself? I'll be completely transparent. When I speak, there is a little process that I go through, right? For me, I do a little meditation. Please let me speak what I'm supposed to. Someone's got to hear something and just use me if you need to for that. I also go outside and do some breathing, listen to music. There's things that I do depending when I'm speaking, where I'm speaking, and who I'm speaking to. Because and I feel I do have pre-speaking, I guess people call them jitters or nerves or excitement. Simon Sinek would say it's not anxiety, it's excitement. I do have some of that, and there's things that I do to maneuver that for myself. Kathy, what about for you? You ever been nervous to get on a stage? And if so, what have you done?
Absolutely. Yes, I get very nervous, and I do some of the things you talked about, some deep breathing, and I think part of it though is I feel I always want I'm one of those that prepares to the, I want to make sure I know what I'm saying. I have spoken on stages in the UN and with world leaders, and talk about the first time I did that, I had to go and change my shirt afterwards because I was so, you know what I'm talking about. The jitters and the nervousness and everything else. And but I also imagine they're people. They're just people. I worked in politics for many years, and Ann Richards, who was very famous in Texas and also in the US for her leadership in women's rights, and was a governor of Texas, she was once I was in a small group with her, and she says, just remember, these, especially the men, because I had a thing with talking to men. I mean, women I could talk to because I talk to all the time. But when I was in a front of a formal group of men, she said, they put their pants on one leg at a time like everybody else. And I was like, okay, I can see that. So it's just, some of the mental games you have to go through, but I also do a lot of deep breathing. I do centering. I imagine the scene. I imagine what's going to happen. And, and then I just put myself in it and almost kind of, release myself into it.
Very cool. And Liz, what about yourself? I mean, you're talking about a pretty dynamic topic, right? I mean, both of you do, right? I've seen you speak and it's dynamic. So what about for yourself?
Yeah, I think for me, kind of off the back of what Kathy is saying, I really do try to make sure that I'm prepared. And I would say that I try and get a good night's sleep beforehand, but that just doesn't happen. Probably for at least 5, 6 days before I know something's coming up. Sleep is very limited. But yeah, it's just about, for me, I do have visualizations of how I want it to go. And really, in those times when I am kind of struggling to sleep, those are the things that I just keep going round and round and round in my head. And so when I kind of come to the event, it's very much like, okay, do you know what? I've kind of already done this. It's already done. That's my thing. And also, if I'm depending on the size of the audience, I just always say to myself, I'm just speaking to one person. I'm just speaking to one person, because actually, even if I'm speaking to 1,000 people, the value and that kind of alignment that I have with it is not going to change. So I always just bear that in mind. And actually, it makes it a lot easier for me to kind of get through the speaking, when I can just kind of in my head visualize it's just that one person, but equally know, the value is just the same depending on how many people there are.
Yeah, I so love that. First of all, you guys both talked about preparing, and even stuff that I can teach off, someone threw me on stage in 5 minutes, I could say it because I've said it so many times, I still go through it. I still go through it. And I love when you say about talking to one person, because that's kind of the thing, like I know someone needs to hear what I have to say. And so it's not like no one else's opinion matters. But I take the, that elevated pressure off, particularly when you're speaking on stage, on large stages, right? On large stages. Some of the things that I know that people do that I think is interesting for the audience to know, and maybe you ladies have done this as well. Now, I personally love to get interviewed. It's not always because I'm nervous. I just love that conversational, particularly if I'm part of a bigger project. I love that conversational piece because it also allows for a bit of impromptu and creativity. So I'm not so scripted. But that's something that I know when we have women come on to, particularly the 262, and not everybody's a speaker, but people want to speak because they have something to say. Being interviewed is super helpful, and having those questions that you can give to the interviewee. So, okay, now you speak. You speak about things around your business, right? You think you both are authors. So tell us some of the things when you're speaking after, the after speaking piece. I know that I just wanted to kind of throw this in a little bit because people speak and we want to get a message across. Is there anything that you do after for yourself? Is there anything around self-care? Is there anything that you do while you're speaking or after you're speaking to help make your impact longer? It could be anything from sending an email to meditating to contacting people to reviewing what it is that just happened and would you do it differently? Like, what's some of your after? Because I don't think people talk enough about the after show. The after show. And I think that's important, particularly if you're speaking about something in relationship to business, which both of you ladies are. So, Liz, can I start with you on that one? What's your after speaking?
Yeah, so for me, I usually kind of if there's feedback that was given from it, I don't necessarily read that or kind of take that on straight away. I just kind of go into myself really and just kind of in my head just say, well done this, because obviously I know how I felt before actually doing it. And so do you know what it is saying? I am actually really proud of myself for doing it. I do evaluate it, so I'm like, okay, maybe next time I could have, focused on that point a little bit more, or maybe I could have given a bit more extra information on that. Maybe I could have, looked at the audience a little bit more. But these are never things in terms of like criticizing myself. I see everything in life as a learning experience. It's either going to give you more confusion or more clarity. So I always kind of push towards the clarity side of the speaking events that I do. And then it's just I always make sure that I celebrate it. I think sometimes we can be so kind of involved with the, okay, I've done this, what's the next thing to do? But actually, it's about appreciating and going, actually, do you know what? I'm really chuffed with myself that I've done this. I am going to have a little bit of a celebration. And actually, how has this speaking event given me more clarity in terms of the next one that I'm going to
That's beautiful. Celebrate,
go
celebrate. All
into?
right, Kathy, what about yourself? Your after.
Yes, I'll have to echo a lot of what Liz said because I think we have to celebrate. I'm not great at it. I'm usually the one of, I use my analytical brain probably more than I do my creative sometimes, and that brain can really drive me nuts because it thinks about all the things I could have done differently or said better, or but then I have to calm that and say, I did well. I got a message across. I know my subject. And I also feed on the energy of speaking. I think I need to say that because there's always a give and take of the energy. It's not just me up there talking. And I really got that when I was a university professor teaching women and gender studies. I really learned that exchange of energy. And so I go back to that. And I celebrate and I revel in that a little bit, and that I also got something out of it, very profound. And then often, if it's a really difficult, big audience or just something I'm not used to, I'll have a glass of wine. Our 262 wine.
There you go. There you go. I've seen some social media with a little margarita.
Yeah,
She's not too
margarita or
shy.
wine, but I'm really liking the 262 wine. So that's kind of, just a little glass of that to kind of
Know it's been really good. Okay, ladies, let's talk a little bit about why we speak in relationship to making impact. So there hasn't been a speaker that I've come across that hasn't said, if I just reach one person, or I know the impact, the impact of what we're doing can override those nerves of keep going, or when you start to go on bigger stages or larger stages. And sometimes I say to people, bigger stages don't necessarily mean more numbers. Sometimes, like you just shared, Kathy, it's a collective of people that you look up to, your peers, or what have you. So, do you have a story or do you have an experience that was like, oh man, it's worth it? It could be a self story or it could be something where someone walked up to you and said, oh my gosh, like I just came back from Ireland and we had a 262 event. And if you've ever been to one live, you'll see that we do live ask parties. Actually, you ladies have both seen that. And there was a woman who I asked, so I said, hey, what's your ask? And she's like, I'm not an entrepreneur. I don't do any of the stuff that you guys are doing. I've never been in a room like this before. I've never felt like this before. She's like, this changed my life. I was like, Every speaker in that room was like, you know, right on. She's like, it just changed my life. She'd never experienced being in a room full of people asking for what they wanted and women. And she's like, she goes, it's almost bizarre. So it was worth it. Like that whole like, oh, I'm not tired from the fight, you know, kind of goes away, right? Liz, have you ever had an experience that, you know, you were like, wow, this is super cool. And again, share with us what it is that you speak on, just so people can recall.
Yeah, so I mean, there's been times where I've been invited to speak at a school, and I hadn't expected that that was going to be the case. And I've kind of gone in there sort of not it wasn't planned or anything. So this was massive for me because it was literally stepping out of my comfort zone, considering I plan things so much. And so I think that it was nice because I think that even before them knowing me, they kind of invited me and kind of had that trust that that I would be a good fit to speak to young people. And while I was really nervous, and I think the old list would have gone, no, do you know what, sorry, I can't make it, it's just too short notice, I literally just said, do you know what, I'm going. And I went, and actually it was one of the most wonderfulest things, because actually it taught me a lot about myself, that actually when I need to speak and when I need to bring things or bring something out of the bag in terms of sharing knowledge and helping young people to be more aware of coercive control, I am actually able to do that. So not only was it that kind of, oh, I can't believe you're asking me, how lovely, it was also actually, do you know what, Liz, you can do this under pressure. And like you were saying, Kathy, hot and sweating and all the other stuff that kind of goes with that sort of unexpected, kind of not knowing what's happening. So it is kind of just for me, as a reflection on that, it's having that faith, isn't it? And it's kind of having that confidence in yourself, because actually, everything is always something that we can learn from it. So it's about taking these opportunities and almost surprising yourself within them. Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. And Kathy, what about yourself? Something that just like, wow.
I guess part of it is several times where I have had an impact where somebody afterwards has actually sought me out. Because, in my book and in my talking, I really think that I really emphasize how we have to do some self-reflection to be leaders, to be just whole, really. And and taking the time to getting to know ourselves and our passions and our values that women don't always take the time to do, because sometimes it's labeled as selfish, or sometimes, they're just juggling too many other things in life that they don't do that. And so I was speaking on that, and it was really a small part of what I was speaking on, because I was speaking on other leadership traits and other things in leadership. And this woman came up to me afterwards, and she even had tears in her eyes. And I said, I'd like to hear your story. What's going on? Because once again, I'm curious. And she said, I have just never had somebody give me permission or tell me that I should be doing this, because it's part of, and I say it's part of your mental wellness. It's part of, your self-care to know who you are. And because you can't lead in your own life if you don't know who you are and what you believe and what your values are. So I get a little bit of chills on that, because, it still marked me so that I could have that kind of an effect on somebody when I'm just thinking I'm talking about leadership and, oh, well, and this and that. And,
Yeah.
to have it really touch somebody in their heart, that was very precious for me.
Wow. So look, we talk at Mission Accepted a lot about top performance. You probably both know that. My audience definitely does. Look, these ladies, you both have coaching programs. You both have incredible books on the market. You both speak and get hired to speak. And so, world, listen to that and do exactly all those things. But what are some of the things, because there are people that want to speak that have products that want to be continued to ask to be, share in other places. They want to be a speaker for hire or get on better stages, which means people need to see them, right? Because people, that's that whole vetting process. What's something, I call it a top performance, you might call it something else. What's something that you do in your business as a speaker that has been successful for you in being able to get more business through speaking? or business or that impact? Someone saw you spoke somewhere else. Like, is there something that you do? Or maybe you just hit the stage and that's it, that's all. Your phone's ringing. But is there something that you do as a speaker in your business that's been helpful? Kathy, I'll start with you.
I think a good part of it, and you mentioned it kind of briefly earlier, is the follow-up. It's really the follow-up, the networking. It is work. It's not, unless you're, I don't know, Meryl Streep or somebody who's famous that gets asked to speak all the time. She's a big women's rights person, so that's why she came to my mind. Or Gloria Steinem, who's our girl crush, right, Deb? You have to do the work of networking, reaching out, and also creating some synergies of how can you help somebody else that's also, looking for speaking or looking for opportunities. Make connections with some people that that are actually doing that or looking for people to speak. And there's a whole community out there, and there's websites that you can get on. There's different webinars you can get on just to network, because I think that relationship building is so important, so that because there's probably hundreds, thousands of experts on women's leadership in the world right now. But if they know me and they know I can deliver and that I know my stuff, I come prepared, I'm willing to share opportunities with them, then they're more likely to say, oh, maybe I'll call Kathy instead of somebody else.
I think you made an excellent point on all counts, but one of the things that I love that you said is that there's many people in that space. And I think the beautiful thing about speaking is that, from a marketing standpoint or a media standpoint, you're always looking for that differentiator. But the beautiful thing about you being the one speaking is you are the differentiator. It's not something where you have to go, gee, how am I going to make this different? I mean, because if you make it your own, because we all come from maybe the same place or maybe the same topic, but we come from a different place, right?
Exactly. Just to
And
add to that, we are the experts of our lived experiences. Nobody, we are unique because nobody has the same experiences we have. So our perspective comes from a different place. And in my mind, every perspective is so important because it's something I might not have experienced or thought of, and I need to learn from it.
I'm going to stay with you for a minute and then ask because I get asked this question a lot. And because I'm on the other side and provide speaking, I still am a speaker, but most people don't really see that. They just see this side of it. But so when they ask me this question, for me, it's an astounding yes, right? But for you, have you, because a lot of times it's not an easy transaction. Marketing, media, putting in an ad, all these things don't necessarily ROI in the moment. You also have people that go, oh, I want to be a speaker and I want to get paid for it, who don't have a speaking history yet, right? Sometimes there's some fantasy around that, some Tony Robbins fantasy I call, you know what I mean? So for you, has it been worth it from a business standpoint?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because it gives you, I just think it gives you a connection and relationship with so many different people that are going to want to, some people say, okay, fine, that was great. Thank you, bye. But there are other people that want to learn more or want to be involved in my courses or even just buy my book or hear more from me, do some one-on-one. So from a business point of view, I think it is a great marketing tool. But as you said, you just don't step into it. You have, there's a lot of times, you have to. I still do a lot of speaking for free, because I have to measure what's the group, who am I talking to, is there some relationship I can build from that and some connection I can make, and but that's part of the business model, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Liz, same questions for yourself. Basically, has it been worth it? And then some of the things that you do to help make it, yield, because it is time, it is energy, it is expertise. We're putting ourselves out there, where you have felt that it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to what Kathy's saying in terms of, that networking is so important. Because I think what kind of happens with networking, you can then you meet these people, but then actually, who are those people that you can actually collaborate with and make things happen? Who are those people who are actually aligned with your purpose? And I think that that then kind of branches out and gives another kind of sort of separate entity towards your business, because not only are you networking, okay, this person, this person, this person, I can now collaborate with this person, make something happen, use different parts of our business, come up with different ideas, and to be able to do that. But also, it's bringing other people along with you as well. So, you can use different people from the networking who is not necessarily aligned with your purpose, but sometimes this person knows this person, and actually, I know that person, and that can help you. And I'm a strong believer in, what you put out comes back. And it's about what can we do, that kind of that higher level of consciousness. What can we do to kind of help and support and bring other people up? And I think that those things are the things that will always come back to your business. And once it comes from a place of alignment and that kind of purpose, it's always going to come back to you. So I think those are the really important things to embrace in terms of, positive things to do for the business, and it makes it very, very worth it. Absolutely.
Very good, very good. Ladies, I know we're coming close to time. So I'm going to ask you this completely different question. You probably know what it is. You probably know that I am going to ask you something about music. Now, look, you've been on my show enough to know that I ask, if you're on your way to a desert island and you have one suitcase and you only have one suit, like you only have room for one album. Which album would it be that you couldn't imagine not ever listening to? So that's the question that I'm going to ask you. If you've given me an answer to that before, you got to give a different one. So Liz, I'm going to start with you. Like, what could you imagine? Now, look at, I've just come back from the Rock and Roll Museum in Ireland, and I'm like, I'm all about it. I'm all about it. But I couldn't even answer my own question, so I don't have to. But so right now, in this moment, if you were taking an album with you or something that you've always leaned into, what would that be?
I think it would have to be Pink. I think it was probably one of her first albums, and it was called "Can't Take Me Home." And I just love every single track on there. And I just yeah, and I still listen to it to this day. And so yeah, that would be my go-to for sure.
Oh, right. So next time you're on stage and Pink's coming out, it's going to be some Pink and Kathy. What about you?
Well, since I just went to a Beyonce concert last night outside of New York City, I would have to ha say that her Cowboy C Carter album right now, because it's in my head. I can't stop listening to it. Matter of fact, driving back from the city to Connecticut with my daughter, we had it on Spotify. So, just trying to kind of relive the experience because it was so electrifying. So, it might be different next week or even tomorrow, but right now in this moment, it's Beyonce.
Oh my gosh, that's so amazing. Ladies, because there's listeners as well as viewers, I'm going to ask Liz, please tell people, and it's going to be in the show notes. People know it's going to be in the show notes, but where can people find you?
Yeah, so I'll just give my website because it's got literally everything on there, email, everything. It's www.lisshoyt.com. And yeah, so you can book in through my Calendly, set up a free sort of 15 minute kind of Zoom. And yeah, anything else on the website in terms of education, young people, coercive control curriculum, that's available as well, just to have a little look. And please, yeah, do reach out if you need. Yeah, lovely.
Absolutely. And Kathy, what about you?
For me, it's www.kathyholt.com. And yes, I would love to have a 15-minute conversation with anybody who's listening, and just see where are you in your leadership journey? What do you think your strengths are? Just let's talk about it. And you can go to my website and connect with me that way.
Awesome. I think we'd all should do like a I think we should all do a woman hear me roar. Now, I'm sleepless. So I think we should do a woman hear me roar. I was looking at the three of us on the screen. I'm like, there's three different sectors here to that whole place, right? Anyways, conversation for later. I'm listeners, I always give you something to do. So go and check these women out. On devdroman.com, you'll be able to reach through to these ladies as well, 262. If you can't find them, just email me. I'll put you in touch with them. They're cool. They're groovy. They're on the show. If you want to be sitting where they are and you want to be, talking about your passion, talking about what you do, absolutely. We are almost booked for this season. So, reach out right away. And of course, we are going into the next season or the next half of this year as far as all of you that have your planners and you're listening to those quotes. Now, look at, we're putting out next year's. So if you have a message again and you are more comfortable in print than on screen, because we haven't convinced you in this show yet that you need to be on screen, that's okay too. So we're happy to receive your quotes if you want to be in next year's planner, because believe it or not, we're putting it together right now so we can release it next year. So if you want to be seen, if you want to be heard, you know where to reach out to. Liz, Kathy, you're both dear sisters of mine. Love you dearly. Thank you for both showing up. Stay on the screen. And viewers and listeners, we so appreciate you. Thank you so much for doing what you do. Share the show. Share the show. Listen to the show and share the show. Thank you. Until we see you again, you be well, you stay groovy, and bye for now.